Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight, reviving JJJ, says JF. I had a niece born recently. Very nice, very nice. That is so fun. Young girls are great. They are a lot of work. They are sometimes capricious. They take a lot of effort. You need to show them a lot of things. But in the end, you can be very proud of them once they are educated and raised. So absolutely wonderful that you're going to have a niece, that you have a niece. Also met a lady whose husband had a vasectomy and they tried to reverse it but couldn't. She was devastated. Oh yeah, vasectomy can have its use, but when you want it to be permanent, don't do vasectomy. Don't do vasectomies that you intend to undo. You do that at 45, 50, when you feel like you're done with life. You already had your children. That is the place where it's relevant to get vasectomy. But don't do this. You're playing with a tube and you're betting that they can unclip it. But biological tissue, once it's clipped, it can atrophy, it can fuse. I don't know why they're doing this thing of telling people that it's not permanent, because my impression is that it must be in many cases. Chuck Garrity says, Jeff, how are you doing, man? I'm doing so awesome because today I have drilled a hole in the wall right here. Look at this, what we have. An AC for the studio, dedicated AC right there. It is blowing cold air right onto me. Now, I hope it's making a lot of noise, so I hope you guys don't hear it in the microphone. But let me know, is the background noise somehow stronger? Because my microphone setup is very clean and it's capable of eliminating background noise. But that is a lot of noise. I hear it a lot in my ears. But testing it, I didn't hear it in the microphone. So my impression is that my gate setup and expander setup has been set right at the place so that it doesn't pass in the mic. Reviving Jay says, does it get hot in the North Pole? No background noise. Wonderful. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, it does get hot. Yeah, it's not a noise gate. Noise gate is bad. Noise gate, it has a switch, and you end up hearing the background noise turn on, basically. The quality thing, if you want to really eliminate background noise, is an expander. An expander sets a threshold, but instead of having this threshold where it turns the sound on or off, it sets a threshold, and then it normalizes the rest of the sound into the whole of the dynamic range. So it's the contrary of a compressor, an expander. So the compressor takes the peaks and it reduces them to within the audio range. An expander takes a threshold and pushes it to expand the use of the audio range. And what's below the expander, what's below that threshold, it de-amplifies it. So that is how you do good. And if you want this technology, it's the Behringer Composer. It has both an extender and a compressor. But those are the two pieces you need to take the audio that is peak, bring it back in, and take the audio that is too low and eliminate it cleanly out of your audio without it switching on enough, because audio gate seems to be what low-end people end up using all the time, and you can hear it. It's like, it turns on the background noise. I find it fascinating what's been happening at Twitter yesterday. Consider this. What has been demonstrated at Twitter is that you can fire 80% of the workforce, and within the 20% left, there are still these fucking censor agents. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that we still had someone who wanted to mess up things in defiance of Elon Musk. Unbelievable. This is all related to the What is a Woman documentary. Of course, personally, I had reviewed it here and I had seen it many months ago when it came out. But the normies may not have had access to it. And there was a whole story where the Daily Wire tried, they contacted Twitter and they set up with the Twitter sales team, which was very open to this. They set up that they would do a kind of premiere, a free premiere of the movie where you don't have to buy it. It's free on Twitter for a given amount of time. And they had set up that not only would it be on Twitter, there would be a dedicated special page. Daily Wire would pay Twitter, and Twitter would give full exposure to the documentary for 10 hours. Everyone visiting Twitter would have an ad or something. They would see the video and they would click on it. So that was a big deal. And I'm sure that they were willing to do it at low cost for Daily Wire because it's entertaining and it provides an attraction to Twitter. But eventually, if Twitter was to sell such packages to corporations or political parties, that would be millions of dollars. Because, in terms of exposure, having millions of viewers to something is a miracle. People are willing to pay a lot for this. But I'm sure that they had offered a very, very good price to Daily Wire because it kind of sets up the whole Twitter thing. It sells a new product that perhaps will attract corporate buyers eventually. But at the last minute, they asked to review the video. And they concluded that in the video, there are two instances of misgendering. And those misgendering instances are basically a father talking about his daughter and saying, I refuse to call her E because I believe she's my daughter. That is the harassment that this documentary does. So the trust and safety team cut the grass under the feet of the sales team. The sales team was all Elon-minded, and they had made the sale, basically. This would have been awesome, but they messed it up. Ella Irwin of the Trust and Safety says, this is not happening. We're not letting misgendering happening in a promoted video on Twitter. And the sales team has told Daily Wire, look, we loved working with you. They had set up, apparently, the whole special page that would host the video. So they had put in some work on it. But they say, sorry, but it's the trust and safety team. They're telling us that would be it. Now, apparently, Elon Musk was not informed of any of this because they started talking about it publicly. And Elon Musk says, well, this was an error of a lot of people at Twitter, sorry. And he says something very bizarre. He says it will be marked as potentially violating content and will not be associated with ads because advertisers have the right to choose what they are displayed beside. Now, that's a very weird way of phrasing. I think Elon is lying here about what is the truth. Because if advertisers have the choice, that's fine. But I don't see any choice. I see what they did initially is they labeled the documentary as potentially violative of hate speech rules. Now, this is not what I call a choice. It's like they will show to the advertiser, do you want to be beside hate speech? And the advertiser will say, oh, well, no, I don't want to be beside hate speech. But then the advertiser doesn't get to know, hey, you know what? Hate speech is the case of a father calling his daughter a daughter. That's the hate speech in a 1 hour, 30-minute documentary. So, Elon, if you want to be serious about this, go another route than YouTube. make it so that advertisers can select one by one the people they want to exclude from their ad association. Believe me, they'll get tired. They'll put one account or two, five, ten. They'll get tired. And it's going to be better for them because they're going to have exposure to a wider range of cognitive diversity within America. Guys, by the way, I'm so happy. It's so cold in here. I love it. Holy shit. I love this AC. It's going to be so much pleasant to do the show in the cold like this because I had always prioritized the rest of the house, prioritized my family, you know, and we had this unit that is AC. It was doing the rest of the house, but it's never been good at bringing air in the studio. The studio is too much of a separate room. And the reason I've been allowed now to use it is that we now have a heat pump for the rest of the house. And so now we have a dedicated AC. Oh, my God, I'm feeling good. Yesterday, I was sweating on Lucas Gage show on Rumble. Hopefully, you've watched it. If you want the link, it's on my Twitter. We have received a couple of super chats. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, said it before and I'll say it again, your audio and attention to detail about audio is second to none. Also, once more for all the other streamers who just don't seem to get it, stop fucking vaping on your fucking stream. You can't wait till the end of the transmission to put phallus in your mouth. Yes, I mean, there are lots of things that I could do that would make the show more pleasant to me, but much worse to you. Like I could be consuming drugs, I could be on cocaine, nicotine, heroin. I would be taking all this stuff, but then it wouldn't be an interesting show. It wouldn't get straight to the point. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, you have no idea how much vaping fucking pisses me off. Especially when they think they have some sort of mic drop, high IQ statement, and then immediately make that fucking sucking vaping noise immediately afterwards. In a just society, those people would be exiled. Yes, the streamers who vape, it's like... It's like, holy shit. And there's this whole thing around vaping that's treated like it's socially acceptable somehow to vape in people's face. You know, there's this annoying behavior that they have that, oh, there's no secondary smoke in vaping. So they are. Holy shit, is that obnoxious. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, it's curious how in large organizations you will find internal conflicts and internal tribes forming. It's not always based on deliberate subversion. Sometimes it's an organic formation through some sort of magnetic property, like a vortex of idiocy and ideology. It goes to display an innate tribalism. Yes, and what is so amazing to me is how this system of censorship was so held in the heart of those people that they were all willing to lose their job. I mean, to them, there was no question of submitting to Elon Musk. The question that was in their head is, do I get fired today or do I stay as a subversive force to try to slow down Elon's project inside the company? I mean, it's disgusting. It's people who are willing... to take money from someone and work against their interest. The very same type of people who have ruined the Trump administration. You know, and Ella Irwin yesterday has resigned because it reached a point where, okay, it broke her values too much. Hearing a father having an opinion on his daughter being a daughter was too much for Ella Irwin. It was ruining too much of her credentials as a kind of leftist censorship specialist. And so she resigns. This is so sad. It's so sad that she wasn't fired before. Because that shows you just how much you have to clean house. You have to clean house so much that if you fire 80% of the people in a corporation, it's not enough. That is what it is. Blanket says, any good news today? Well, the good news, I guess, is that despite Ella Irwin being fired, resigning, but I'm guessing it's Elon who told her, either you do what I say or you go out and you have the opportunity to resign or I'll fire you. That's probably what happened. So the good news is that she's gone and that Elon chose the path of free speech. Isn't that beautiful? Now, he didn't choose that path with Mark Collett. He didn't choose that path with Patriotic Alternative. Now, that's really too bad. Because now, Elon, that you have fired your dirty agent inside your corporation, I would like you to review this decision. You have been pressured by governments to censor political opposition. And you have been probably pressured under Ella Irwin telling you that they were Nazis or something like this. Elon, I know Mark Collett. He's a brilliant guy. He really believes in what he defends. And part of what he defends is what you've come to want to defend too, which is the, you know, this whole idea of surgeries on kids. Mark Collett happens, I believe, you know, from what I understand, from what he said in the past, that he is, just like you, Elon, for the criminalization of trans surgeries on kids who cannot consent. And so please restore Mark Collett and his friends and Patriotic Alternative. They are all about a fair treatment of white people and kids in our nations. And I'm sure Ella Irwin deceived you on who he was. I'm sure about that. And I'm sure she deceived you on the fact that you had no choice, that England was about to ban you from Europe. I'm sure she lied to you, Elon. Blanket says, now Elon needs to choose JF to make the platform decentralized. Exactly. My offer is still on the table, Elon. Let's do a decentralized Twitter so your legal responsibilities all across the world, Europe, US, wherever, are zero. Zero because you don't host it. You don't touch it. You provide the algorithm. You provide the software. You provide the platform. But someone else is hosting the speech. Some Doge ninjas of the underground. Let's do it, Elon. I can do it. AOC Press, the parody account that was imitating, impersonating AOC, has deleted his account. That is so often what happens when you have these anonymous contributors. They meme in a viral bout, but they are not prepared to handle it. They are not prepared for public life. They thought they could get away with doing this, you know, as a hobby. You can't do this as a hobby because the crowd came to cancel this person. The Democrats went very aggressive about him. And they even, well, the thing is, he's received many death threats. Now, on my show, I had stood for the idea that he was deceptive, that he was impersonating AOC in a dishonest manner, and that he should at least make the parody word more visible. If you put it at the beginning of the name instead of at the end, it would have been then very clear that it's a parody, and it would have stopped deceiving people on the internet. I was for this, but I certainly wasn't for him to be silenced in his parody activities. But apparently he's been intimidated away from the internet following too much death threats, too much doxing threat, too much, You know, I don't know. Maybe his family was targeted. I don't know. I made a meme. I made a meme about science. Science, when you want to stop being a woman, they go full Tom Cruise of Minority Report on you. They have these 3D holographic screens and they start saying, all right, so here's what we're going to do. See that skin on your arm? We can make a penis out of it. Then we'll reconnect your blood vessels and urethra so that you can actually pee out of it. Don't worry about the hormonal issue. We got what we need to rebalance everything. And you'll feel like a man in no time. And if anyone around you reminds you that you're a woman or a girl, we're going to censor them so that you can live in an entire bubble of being convinced that you're a guy. No worries, science got you. But then when you ask science when you want to stop being gay, all that science has to offer is best we can do is lubricant for your ass. This contrast is very important. It's very important that the leftists, the normies, be exposed to this contrast because it shows a very different route, a very different attitude that was taken with two things that could very well have been indulged in the same way. Someone was pointing out in response to this meme, why aren't we trying to give more hormones of their biological natural sex to people before we sex change them? Like, you know, if someone comes and says, I don't feel like a male, how about we inject 10x the dose of testosterone in this person? Now what? Do you feel like a man now? I mean, can you imagine having 10x the testosterone and then we put them on a ribeye potato diet? You're gonna tell me that this is not worth trying at least? Why don't we try it? And same thing with the person who says, I don't really feel like a female, you know? Just inject her with whatever estrogen, phylogenic oils, and give her scented candles and you know, bubble baths and bath bombs, you know, those little balls that you put in the bath and it makes magic. I mean, she's gonna feel great as a female eventually. But no, we never try this. We always try. And here's the realization I've had. Why is this difference of attitude? What is the common thing here? What are we doing? Systematically, in both cases, we're not attempting everything we can. Because as far as medications, I can find you a medication that does pretty much anything I want in your body. I can find you a medication that increases your clotting. I can find you a medication that decreases your clotting. I could find a medication that increases your blood pressure, decrease your blood pressure, increase your sugar level, decrease your sugar level, increase your serotonin, antidepressants, decrease your psychotic episodes, anti-dopaminergic agents, nicotine for addiction, anti-nicotine receptors for curing addiction. I can do pretty much anything with a pill. Now you're going to tell me that it's not worth trying various medical agents that could eventually turn someone that likes dick into someone that likes females. And, you know, the fact is we never tried. So what is the common thing here? We never try to our best to fit what the person wants. The system is not about what the person wants. The system in both cases is leading the person toward a non-reproductive lifestyle. The system is saying, if your goal is to sterilize yourself, I will do as much as I can to make it happen. If you are already sterilizing yourself, I will do as much, and you want to stop this, I'll do whatever I can to keep you sterile, to keep you in the mode that doesn't lead to reproduction. That is what's happening. We have an attack on heterosexual reproduction. Thomas Howard says, this is not the way Ted Kaye would have advocated for. He was right far more often than not. Bird Flu says, I think JF just invented a new TikTok challenge, the 10x... Don't start this in my name. I'm going to get in trouble, I'm sure. And yeah, you know, I can have an opinion, by the way, on all these subjects, on the idea that I'm sure there would be some chemicals out there that turn someone gay, not gay. I'm absolutely certain. Basically, it's physicalism. It's philosophy of mind at its very basic. Since our mind is all matter, then it's all manipulable in some way. But if I was to somehow push for an actual cure, if I was to say, I found the pill and I'd like to sell it to you, that would be illegal in Canada. If I was to even direct you toward a website that does these kinds of attempts of therapy, I would be violating a Canadian law. Bird Flu says, lol, lol, I'm kidding, JF, that would assuredly go bad. Stephen Robinson says, atrazine turns the fucking frogs gay. Yeah, well, whatever. Anti-atrazine, maybe. that must exist somewhere. All right. If you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Excellent news on the Bitcoin. Flank, a new U.S. Senate bill is proposing to create a pathway for digital assets to transition from being classified as securities to commodities. That would be awesome. I don't know if it would change the game for Bitcoin very much, but it would certainly cool down the whole idea that no one knows in the crypto world. No one knows how the government is going to address their, how it's going to end all cases about them. Is it going to treat you like a security and then demand that your employees follow this licensing crap and follow the licensing courses and that kind of crap? And it adds so much expenses to someone who would want to create a crypto that most of the time people solve this by creating cryptos anonymously. It's the way to avoid this whole red tape bureaucratic crap. But if we could have it in the law in the US, it would also have very positive reverberations in countries like Canada, because Canada is too stupid. Whenever the US does something, Canada does it. And thank you, Americans. If you do this, you solve a big problem in Canada, because I'd like to see Binance come back to Canada. But right now, as long as you have the government saying, oh, well, maybe you're selling securities, they can't afford sending all of their employees to and following the rules of Canadian securities. Are you fucking kidding me? So much money gets thrown at courses and, oh, you have to have your chief agent always in the office. And anyone who sells a Bitcoin, he has to ask to the chief agent. I mean, you can't do this on the web. You can do this in a efficient market. Who has seen the Covenant school shooters' writings, court hearing, and records give insight? They're talking about a manifesto, but eventually they change the term to writings. And basically, the police service is still withholding the freaking manifesto. I was bringing this news item only to remind we have to have this manifesto. We need to understand, or else you're doing exactly what the left wants, is whenever there's an event of right-wing violence or kind of right-wing violence, you're turning the camera to it, and then you're publishing the manifestos and you're making your big CNN front pages about it. But when there's someone who's anti-right-wing and who's basically a terrorist, mass shooter, who's probably anti-Christian, although we have yet to see the manifesto, then you are giving the impression that violence goes one way when in fact it doesn't. Robert De Niro reacts to Al Pacino. Someone was talking about Al Pacino in the regular chat earlier. Becoming a father again at 83. Oh my God, Al Pacino. I'm so happy that he is continuing reproduction. He has this cute girlfriend who's a model or whatever, who's been doing it a specialty of hers to fuck rich old guys. Well, so be it. You know, it's great for her. She gets an insemination by a man who has a streak of realizations behind him. So she gets great genetic quality. She gets his money. Eventually he's going to die and she's going to be able to live in the luxury that he offers her. So be it, you know. There was a so-called feminist libertarian on Twitter who identifies as she, but it was told to me later that she is a trans woman. And she claims to be a libertarian, but she's one of those subversive libertarians who are just truly leftist. And they just use the libertarian label to trap right-wingers and to form some kind of gatekeeping strategy. And she was saying, this is basically pedophilia. She was saying this on cases like Al Pacino and big age differences to her is like basically pedophilia. And I was like, well, okay, so you're telling me that a 19-year-old girl cannot make decisions for herself. So what do we do about this? Someone's going to have to make the decisions. She's going to have an owner, father, husband, maybe. And of course, she had no answer to this. So it went on a very long Twitter discussion where she was always, because I pointed out that in her profile bio, she was Jewish. So she was always coming back to Jews and she was doing so in a very dishonest manner. And after a couple of attempts at getting her to be honest with me, I said, all right, you're not being honest in the interaction. Bye-bye, I'm blocking you. But, you know, amazingly, she had quarter Jewish in her profile bio. Quarter Jewish. This person who has quarter Jewish in her bio tells me, Jews are a religion. So you're saying that religion is influencing my political ideology? Well, it's like, and this of course is a reference to Millennial Woes recently, who had totally just dunked on someone with this very point. But it's like, if you have quarter Jewish in your bio, you don't believe that Jews are a religion. You believe that Jews are a race. Because how would you be quarter Judaistic? How would you be quarter adherent to the Judaistic religion? You couldn't. So you believe that Jews are a race. You know that you're quarter Jewish. But you just try to concern troll me. because you want to make it look like I said something wrong. And anyways, even if we were to get through all this, and you were to tell me that, yes, you identify as a 25% a religious Jew, it's confusing. Even if we were to get to there, you wouldn't have shown me anything wrong because, yeah, sure, your religion might influence your political ideology. Haven't you noticed that Muslim countries have certain kinds of politics and that Christian countries have other kinds of politics? Could be the genes, could be the religion. In my view, it's all the genes. A man shows his penis and denounces white privilege as part of a performance at the Quebec City Museum of Civilization's new Love Me Gender LGBTQIA2S+ exhibit. Art. Oh my God. He's getting dressed. He's getting dressed into a female-like attire. This is art. How much was paid for this crap? How much do these museum women, they're signing the check, like, they disgust me. I can see their golden earrings, and I can imagine their little boomer looks, and these fat women just working for the government, and it's like, Oh yeah, this is going to be good. Disgusting. This should deeply trouble us all. Hunter Biden reportedly planning a Second Amendment defense. So it's the whole story of Hunter Biden being in possession of a gun. Possession of a gun while being drugged, because you can be in possession of a gun, but one of the tricks that the leftists use against gun rights is to say, oh, well, you can have the gun, but you can't have the gun plus dangerous drugs. Now, okay, that's normally it's a way to get at right-wingers. I remember they did a case. I don't even remember what it was, but they went after a right-wing guy who was just stacking lots of ammos and guns in his home, but they caught him basically buying speed or whatever, or cocaine, and it's like, now suddenly all of your guns become illegal because you have drugs. Now that's what they do to right-wing ideological people. But Hunter Biden has left plenty of evidence out there that he was having guns and consuming a lot of crack. And this whole gun story, the gun had eventually ended up in a trash can, but the FBI found it in the trash can. So it looks like he tried to get rid of it, or that someone got rid of it for him. So, and now he's planning a defense where he will invoke Second Amendment rights. And of course, people on social media were sharing the irony of, so the leftists, they invent rules to attack the Second Amendment. Now, when these rules attack a leftist, which is Hunter Biden, suddenly the Second Amendment becomes important again. I mean, the full irony would be if he wins in Supreme Court, and basically these laws are found to be invalid. Yeah, it's like it's kind of bizarre. It's kind of pre-crime. This way in which, oh, you know, having drugs may be illegal. Having guns is definitely legal. Having guns plus drug is a supplementary crime? How does that work? It's like if I was let's take the most extreme example to see how the rationality of this law doesn't make sense to me. What if I was to say, it's illegal to murder John Drake. You cannot murder John Drake. You can drink water. That's okay. But if you drink water while murdering someone, you have 20 plus years in jail. So now I've just outlawed water by combining it with another crime, you see? And I don't know that you can outlaw guns by combining them with another crime. It's always whether you, if you use the gun to commit a murder, then it's the murder that's wrong. It's not the gun. I couldn't, if you were to make that law that you can't drink water while committing murder, and you would give an additional punishment for it, that would be making water illegal to some people in some context. We wouldn't do this. Well, actually, the American Constitution protects guns much stronger than it does water. So how do we end up with laws like this? I think they should be reviewed in the Supreme Court. Keith Woods, it's the year of Keith, the year of Keith, ladies and gentlemen. After being banned from so many things, being banned from Twitter, he was brought back to Twitter, and now he gets retweeted by Joe Rogan. You can see here the account of Joe Rogan. Some interesting research came out recently on the relationship between people with left-wing authoritarian politics, narcissism, and psychopathy. Interestingly, it seems to vindicate many earlier thinkers who theorized about the connection between leftism and pathology. I had seen this thread by Keith Woods. I thought it was a very high-quality thread. I hadn't talked about it on the show because it's things that we've reviewed in the past. So I knew about these links between mental health and left-wing politics. But Jordan Peterson is increasingly talking about this. Joe Rogan is retweeting Keith. This is all very good news. I love to see our friends doing well. So very happy for Keith here. Here we have Mizzy, the harasser streamer, explaining that he comes from a single mom. I'm not surprised.
Oh, his confidence and his stride and the way he talks and carries himself. No, I respect women fully. I was raised by a single mom. My mom was in, like, I'm living in the hood. Like, I was raised down. Mm-hmm. So you guys need to understand that I'm not in any shape of way supporting what Andrew Tate says about women or any of that thing.
Thank you very much for that.
This is fascinating. Because you can see that the mainstream journalist who's doing this interview, she's very happy that he has corrected this. That he likes women. He loves women. He is a feminist. Now, this guy is an asshole by any standard. He told women, do you want to die in the metro? He harasses old people. He steals dogs from old women. And he penetrates home against people's consent. He is a criminal, dangerous, psychopath, asshole. But if he can say, no, but I love women. I was born in the hood, and I was raised by a single mom. This is fascinating because this is the leftist dream, the leftist utopia. All right, well, if you can confess to our religion of feminism, if you can show that you have your street creds from the Respect the Woman group, then you are in our good graces, no matter what you do. We're going to take you in our family, if you will, in our cities, even if you're a criminal. That is a wrong way to build a city. That's why leftist cities are doomed to be complete failures. I mean, like Haiti levels of failures. Like, gangs roving and controlling everything. That's because they are way too willing to believe people on their words rather than their actions. Nicholas Petris says this really says a lot about society. Yeah, and I'm not surprised that a child from a single mom ends up like this. That is exactly what you get. The mom being incapable of correcting them as they grow with more aggressivity and incapable of imposing boundaries on disrespect and that kind of stuff. And eventually the child is just too dangerous for his own mom. And so he gets on the streets and he doesn't get further limits there. And so he rises as a streamer, annoying people and committing crimes. DK Shadow says, yep, it's a confession absolution. Yeah, he's in the family. See, I wouldn't be in the gang of this mainstream journalist. She would keep treating me as non-human for the whole interview, no matter what I say, because I would refuse to do my confession, my absolution. I would refuse to say, oh, you know, I love women. Because I don't want to kneel to any system of constraints of this kind. I know what I think about women, and I live well with it. I'm not going to use it as a display to please a fucking female journalist. But he will, because he's a psychopath. Listen to this again.
That. His confidence and his stride and the way he talks and carries himself. No, I'm not. I respect women fully. I was raised by a single mom. My mom was in, like, I'm living in the hood. Like, I was raised down. Mm-hmm. So you guys need to understand that I'm not in any shape of way supporting what Andrew Tate says about women or any of that thing.
Thank
I'm
you very much for it. That.
In Underground Floor asks if there are rules in the chat. Yes, definitely there are rules. Don't use slurs and that kind of stuff. Skeptic says, do you love women, JF? I will not answer this question because it's a moral display and I don't do moral displays. So a review of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Elon Musk has now tried to kind of make up for the errors of his team that led to the initial censorship of What is a Woman by Matt Walsh. So now Elon Musk has pinned a tweet saying every parent should watch this. That's one of the very good things coming from yesterday's debacle. Elon Musk basically recommending that people view What is a Woman. In some of his interaction elsewhere on Twitter, Elon Musk has committed that he would engage in political lobbying to fully criminalize across America the sex change surgeries that have any permanent consequences on children that cannot consent. Bravo, Elon. Very good. Very good that he's taking this seriously. And see, this touches upon my whole theory of what is Elon? Who is Elon? Elon is a white guy who's pissed off. He's on a quest. They took one of his child. They took his Canadian child, and I don't even remember if the child was a daughter initially or a son, but they went full trans, they went full LGBT activism, and in fact, they went even very dishonorable in their treatment of their father, who was deprived of opportunity to influence this child through divorce and family courts and that kind of crap. So Elon is on a quest, and DK Shadow says this is personal. Exactly. Elon has had one of his reproductive units stolen from him, and you don't steal stuff or people from people like Elon. The rich people like Elon, every dollar, every child, everything is theirs. And they don't like it when it gets taken from them. James says, Elon is on the extreme radical path of centrism. Yeah, it's not that Elon is truly a right winger, I would say. But still, it gives him, he is in a very good position to be leveraging this fight against the LGBT ideology, and he may very well succeed. You know, one of my recent predictions, people were asking me, Jeff, what's the next big thing? The next big thing might very well be a revolution of the normies against the trans ideology. It could be this, because they're going to get tired. At some point, the normies, you know, mess with anything. They will sheep any sort of ideology you can throw at them, including they will go to war. They will root for your wars. If you impose it on them, you can use lies that are so obvious, they won't even want to question those lies. But if you fuck with the normies' reproduction, my theory as a biologist is that is the no limit. It's they won't be able to take decades of attack onto their reproductive rights. Because when there's going to be generations of people who have been fooled by the system, can you imagine the kids of today when they're 80 years old, and then there's other kids that were sex changed and now they're 60 years old, and now there's other kids, they're 40 years old and their parents were sex changed. I mean, this stacks in society, and eventually there's just too many people who lost too many loved ones to this. Go away, says Jeff. We call it trans fatigue at my workplace. Well, that's a beautiful way to phrase it. Trans fatigue is what I predict. So now that Elon has made up for the errors of his team by retweeting the pinned tweet of What is a Woman, we find ourselves with 77 million views. Now, they're not full video views because Elon has messed up. He doesn't show the unique video views anymore. He now shows the impressions of the tweet. But generally, a video gets about twice the impressions that it gets in views. So still, we're talking about 33 million views of the video, if my estimations are correct. So that is a lot of people. That is a lot of people, 33 million people viewing your documentary. I mean, this is a higher fame than Michael Moore ever had on any of his documentaries. So, I mean, credit to Matt Walsh, because this ad to the people who had already bought the documentary, who had already seen as part of a subscription to Daily Wire. So that is a massive success. Could be a game changer on this whole theme of the revolution against trans ideology. Could be coming. But Twitter has that bizarre behavior, because now we have full success. But yesterday, everyone was worried because, look, I was trying to like the video and it was saying, why can't you like this? We try to keep Twitter a place for LT conversation, so we've disabled most of the ways to engage with this tweet. I couldn't reply, I couldn't retweet, I couldn't like. And the spread of the video was considerably slowed down in the early times because of this. And this was all happening when it hadn't yet been fully confirmed that Ella Irwin was resigning. So that was Ella Irwin and her team enforcing the standard Twitter censorship against Elon's desire. And eventually we get to learn throughout the night that Twitter trust and safety chief Ella Irwin resigns. Twitter trust and safety head Ella Irwin has resigned. Irwin's departure comes after months of difficulty in stemming objectionable content. Irwin, who confirmed her resignation to Reuters on Thursday, served for roughly 7 months and declined to provide a reason for her decision. Irwin ran the Twitter team that fought disinformation, removed offensive content, and helped maintain Twitter's platform integrity. But Twitter has experienced significant challenges in stemming offensive content, under Irwin's tenure since Musk began serving as CEO. Musk had previously said, for example, that fighting child sex abuse material was priority number one for the platform. Reporting from NBC News and CNBC in January found illegal content was still freely circulating on the platform. Okay, well, that's just the mainstream journalist trying to soil Elon Musk further. But yeah, fundamentally, what we have here is almost certainly someone who was disagreeing with letting What is a Woman freely trend on the platform. And it took a resignation before Twitter fixed it, because the little label of hate speech eventually disappeared during the night. And that's when the millions of views came in. Because before the label of hate speech was there, it had 1 million views, something like this. But once it was removed, it was like 10, 20, 30. It was going much faster. So they wanted to shut down right-wing speech again, despite 80% of them having been fired. I cannot believe this. That's why I say layers upon layers of censor. If you don't fire them all, they're still there. They're still going to come back at you. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I've seen some people suggest that eventually multicultural countries will degrade into some form of territorial warlord system. There might be a level of trade / mercantilism, but aside from that, it would be at best apathetic separatism or perhaps even antagonistic. What are your thoughts on this? I agree, this is a proper analysis, because you have to think, what is currently happening with cities like Chicago, Baltimore, you know, these cities that are becoming shitholes? No one wants to get into them. So it's basically that their economy becomes local. If you have a chance to drop a truck and run, you can have people willing to do it. But so basically these shitholes are becoming places where no one from the outside wants to invest, because it's, you're going to deal with local criminality, gangs, you're going to have to pay protection fees, and it's just not going to happen. You're not going to make money out of these places. So imagine this stuff continued, and criminality is very high in those places. So basically the sense of private property disappears, and it's all about, can you be in the good graces of the local warlord? So basically what we have is a kind of civil war happening already. Now imagine that this goes on for 50 years, 100 years. Now you have the multiple gangs, you have the Hispanics who have found a way to defend themselves. They control certain areas of the town. You have the blacks, they control other areas of the town. And, you know, white people, forget it, they're all gone. What is this in terms of a country? Well, those are exactly the centers where you'll expect election fraud to be easy, electoral intimidation to, and very high population counts, so that these locations count a lot in elections. So what is this kind of country? Well, it is a country of feudal states. If you want to push it to the extreme, if this system reaches its limit, it's feudal kingdoms, really. And it's just that you're never going to get the beautiful castles, because because people are too stupid to build castles anymore. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a proper possibility. I think it's very likely going to happen to some degree. Chuck Garrity says, I live 20 minutes near Baltimore, and God forbid a white or Asian goes into there. Again, I use the Brazil 2.0 model. Yeah, it's a good way to look at it. Mark D's channel sends a $5 super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, Salut, JF. Thanks for the show. In the spirit of maybe helping a viewer get laid. Can I ask what shirt is it you are wearing, brand? Where from? I think it looks awesome and want one. I don't want to remove it live. But look at what I'm going to do. I'm going to check what is the brand after the show, and I'll talk about it on the next show tomorrow. Because I just want to... I think it would... unless there's something in the wrist. No, there's no indication in the wrist. So I would have to remove it to check out the brand. So now you have Ben & Jerry's, of course, who can always be counted on to be there when it's messy and when it's leftism and when it's Israel. Somehow they're always there, and here they are. They are getting into this Twitter fight. Ben and Jerry's cuts ties with Twitter and states it won't return until it gives up its pursuit for allowing free speech on the platform. Elon should just keep going forward, Elon. As long as you have the eyes of the people on your platform, you have the leverage. These people, fuck them. They don't even have money. Who buys this crappy ice cream anyway? It's a fat hipster thing. Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna buy some Cherry Garcia, Ben and Jerry. Oh yeah. Disgusting. Don't eat this crap, Elon. Don't care about these people. Just, they will fail, they will go bankrupt, and Twitter will rise, and eventually the advertisers will come back, because it's going to be the cycle. It's going to be a cycle where they have extra money and they're going to spend it. Blanket says, Jeff, do you think Ben and Jerry will be boycotted next like Bud Light? I think that would be very interesting. Ben and Jerry has a good case against it, you know. Of all the companies you would want to boycott. At some point, they did a whole thing where they were so pro-Palestinian that they started saying something about not selling in Israel. But there was something very bizarre about their apology on this, that it was very Jewish. Like, it was okay, you're such a Jew that you're siding with the Palestinians that... It was weird. It was very weird. And since then, I'm like, okay, these people, yeah, they are openly from San Francisco. Yeah, so they are very leftist. Yeah, they came back to Israel after. It was very Jewish, this whole moment. Anyways, yes, I think they would be a very good target, although, you know, like, don't deprive yourself of Ben and Jerry because you want to boycott them economically. Just deprive yourself of Ben and Jerry because it's not good for you. It's crap, high sugar, high fat, nothingness that's frozen. Elon will now host a Democratic candidate on Twitter Spaces. Would you like to do a Spaces discussion with me next week? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. answers, yes. How's Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern time? Well, it's good. It's good. That being said, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a loss of time, you know, because he's not going to get it. The Democrats are not going to let an anti-system guy of that kind win. But it's interesting. It's going to bring people to Twitter Spaces, and I like it. Yes, there is a cost to putting kids on puberty blockers. For example, bone density growth on average flatlines. The teen's bone density plummeted as much as 15% in some bones from average levels to the range of osteoporosis, a condition of weakened bones. Increased suicide risk post-transition, the Swedish study that had been cited by Elon Musk, and Elon Musk commits. He says, this is a major problem. I will be actively lobbying to criminalize making severe, irreversible changes to children below the age of consent. Shame on those who advocate this. It is utterly contemptible. Whenever I see base stuff from Elon Musk like this, I'm happy. I'm super happy. And I'm even happier when I consider his transsexual child just fuming. Yeah, fuming with hate. Smoke coming out of their ears. Because this is what it's all about. We are talking about one of the fatherly intervention against a trans child that is the most public that will ever be known in human civilizational history. Everything that Elon Musk says publicly about this subject is ultimately a message to his child, who chose the path of LGBT activism, who chose the path of ungratefulness toward Elon. And I love it. I love that it slaps in the face constantly. SpaceX gets Pentagon Ukraine Starlink contract. Oh, so the elbowing of Elon Musk with the warmongers of the state has been paying off. The Pentagon said Thursday it's awarded a contract to Elon Musk's SpaceX to ship Starlink satellite internet terminals to Ukraine. I'm happy that Elon Musk is getting paid for what he used to do for free. But we had called it here, and you guys were telling me, JF, he's just trying to make them addicted to the technology. And then he's going to charge them. And that's what he's done. He's basically put himself as an essential tool of the front line. And then he said, all right, I'm either stopping to send them new systems or you pay me. And so he's going to be making money with this. It's a business that I don't like, first because it involves war. And I don't like Elon making himself a component of the U.S. war machine. It puts him in a place where he has, unfortunately, interests that are aligned with continued warmongering. That is very sad to me, very dangerous. And at the same time, it is Elon's specialty to be doing things that the free market can't quite do, but that the thieves of the state can do. Like, you know, these credited solar powered and credited electric cars and credited this and credited NASA flights, credited rocket flights, and now credited Starlink satellites. It's like, this is the state economy. This is what happens. Elon Musk is what happens when the state controls too much money. It's that you end up having a specialist of addressing state needs, but at a lower price than what the state could do it at. That is a skewed market. That is theft. That is wrong. But still, I like Elon personally. I'm on the ground floor, says, how the hell do I change my username on Odyssey? Well, I'm sure you click the settings at the top, and I'm sure there's some place where you can do that. CIA chief made secret visit to China to salvage spiraling relations. CIA director Bill Burns recently made a secret trip to China in an attempt to rescue deteriorating relations between the two powerful rivals. The clandestine trip was revealed Friday by the Financial Times. The urgency with which Washington is trying to stabilize the relationship with China. Okay, well, you know, I don't know why there would be a hostile relationship. America has been kind of a dick on the Ukraine front. But there's no reason to hate on China, and there's no reason for China to hate on us. U.S. Senate votes to repeal Biden's $400 billion student loan handout. I don't know what that means. The U.S. Senate voted for it, but does that mean the House has to vote now? Because that's an important thing. It's something that Biden was trying to do on the executive branch only. If we can get the Congress to say, no, 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 you're not doing this, that would probably hold, and therefore it would be canceled, really. And the leftists who are dependent on student loans would all see their balance reappear, and, oh, yeah, you do have to pay your student debt, you fucking idiots. That would be beautiful. But I'm not sure we're there yet. Do we have the House voting with the Senate on this? And as a last news item for today, the Fed engages in shocking seasonal adjustments to convert $28 billion bank deposit outflow into $102 billion inflow. The Fed reports that domestic, large and small commercial banks saw flows minus 20.5. What does that mean? As if it needs to be said, non-seasonally adjusted deposit flows are actual flows. And why do we care about seasonally adjusted deposits? They aren't really assets. It seems the Fed is using the fog of banking crisis war, knowing this data drops late on a Friday night, to pull the wool over depositors and investors. Zero Hedge on Twitter says, "Hi, Nick Timiraos. Last week you pointed out the divergence between seasonally adjust and not seasonally adjust commercial bank deposit data. Would you do so this week again?" Following yesterday's, I don't understand anything of this. What is happening? Following yesterday's ugly money market fund, accelerating inflows, and Fed balance sheet, another jump to a record usage of the Fed's bank term funding program, emergency bailout cash, expectations are that bank deposits continued to leave U.S. commercial banks. Regional bank shares have risen for 3 straight weeks, but the context for where they are is key. That is the biggest seasonally adjusted weekly inflow since June 2021. One can't help but wonder if this giant surge is seasonal only, given the timing of the prior jump. And this inflow occurred as money market fund inflows hit a new record high. So where is all this cash coming from? Under the hood, large banks saw a massive $85 billion inflow, as foreign banks saw outflows. Okay, well, there is an inflow of money. That's what I gather. What are you going to do about it? Thank you.